text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crying around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Here ends our text. The bedeviled soul is drawn to this text. The woman or man who has despaired of ever being useful to God is touched by this text. The person who has turned his back on his Savior in the past is comforted because this text is about Jesus going fishing for lost souls. You can tell this text is about something big by the way Luke starts off. Well, you could if we were reading the King James Version. Luke does not say, as that insert translates, "one day," or as other translations interpret, "now it came about," or "on one occasion." Such translations sound like Luke is passing from one story about Jesus to another. No big deal. No, Luke wrote, as the King James literally translates, "and it came to pass." You recognize those words. That's how Luke begins the Christmas gospel. "And it came to pass." That's a solemn Hebrew expression. It lets you know an important event is being told. Just as bedtime stories beginning with "once upon a time" rivet your attention to what they have to say, so the Hebrew uses "and it came to pass." Something big is going on. This isn't a story about Jesus fishing for lost souls in general. This is about him fishing for Peter in particular. Five times Simon, Peter's Hebrew name, is used. Once the special name that Jesus gave him a year before, Peter, is used. James and John are called Simon's partners. And while Matthew relates that Jesus called Peter his brother Andrew, James and John, our text says Jesus spoke to Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon. This text is about Jesus gone fishing for Peter, the chief apostle, the first among equals, the spokesman for the group for good and bad. This is an entire year after Peter was called the first time in John chapter 1. Peter had left John the Baptist to follow Jesus because Andrew said Jesus was the Christ. And John the Baptist had said Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Peter saw Jesus turn water into wine, cleanse the temple, and proclaim himself the Messiah to the Samaritans. Yet Peter has left off following Jesus. He has gone back to his trade of fishing. Well, this is a big event, and it came to pass. Jesus was standing by the lake with the people listening to the word of God. Jesus is fishing for lost souls, casting his word out to them. The lost souls school about him. But what's this? The people, the text says, are crowding around him listening, but what are the fishermen doing? They are washing their nets. Jesus, the one Peter had confessed to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Word made flesh, Jesus is teaching, and Peter isn't among the feeding souls. The word is being taught no less here than in a sermon or a Bible class. And Peter doesn't have time to listen or to learn. He's given up being a disciple. And it came to pass. Peter's a fisherman again. Jesus politely engages Peter the way a teacher uses the name of the student not listening. He gets into Peter's boat and he asks, he doesn't command, he asks as one would an equal. He asks Peter to put out a little from shore. Then Jesus sat down. Sitting is the synagogue position for teaching. And he taught the people from the boat. Well, that's a great way to fish. You stay a little out from the shore and you cast back to it. Fish feed in the shallows in the morning. See Jesus casting his word gently back to the shore to those hungry souls. When it says that Jesus taught the people, you must not think that Jesus taught them how to be a disciple or how to live the Christian life or, heaven forbid, the purpose-driven life. No, Jesus taught them about their sins and how these sins were taking them straight to hell and there wasn't anything they could do about it. He taught them that they were wrong for thinking that the law of Moses could ever save them. He taught them that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He taught them that he was the resurrection and the life. He taught them that their salvation was in him keeping the law and in him paying for their sins. The lost souls eagerly feed on Jesus' teaching, but not Peter. Now Jesus turns to Peter. The text does not say that Jesus finished speaking and said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch. No, it's like the King James translates, when Jesus had left speaking. Our English word pause comes from that Greek one. Jesus paused speaking to the crowd and turned to Peter. You can tell Jesus is still in the teaching mode because he remained seated. We know this because when the miracle struck Peter, the text says he fell at Jesus' knees, not at Jesus' feet. And it came to pass that Jesus had gone fishing for Peter. Peter is away from the shore where a fish not feeding would be. Every fisherman knows you need special bait to catch a fish that's not feeding. So Jesus tells Peter to put out into the deep. And Jesus commands this time. He doesn't ask. He commands Peter to let down the nets for a catch. Jesus is preaching the law here. Peter's a commercial fisherman. He does this for a living. He knows that you don't use nets to catch fish in deep water. They're too heavy, so when you pull them up, they break. Second, he knows you don't fish with nets during the day, but at night. Third, Peter knows he's worked hard all night without catching a thing, and that he's just finished washing the nets. Peter wants to go home and get to bed. He needs sleep more than anything else to face another whole night of fishing. Peter's upset. That's how you feel when you think Jesus is all about commanding you to do what is ridiculous, pointless, useless. Upset is how you feel when you're under the law and you think Jesus just wants to get things from you. You can tell Peter is upset and under the law in two places. One, he does not call Jesus teacher or Lord. He calls him master. Now that's the Greek word for an overseer master. Yeah, you're the boss, Jesus. I do what you tell me to do. Second, Peter pictures himself personally under the heel of this overseeing master. Jesus had commanded them, plural, to let down the nets. But what does Peter say? I, singular, will let down the nets. Peter sees this as between him and Jesus only, and that's the way Jesus, the Bassmaster Pro, wants it. And it came to pass that Jesus landed a lunker with the right bait. Peter had seen Jesus heal many diseases. He had seen Jesus free people from demons. He had seen Jesus heal his own mother-in-law from a high fever. He had heard the Sermon on the Mount, but still, he had quit following Jesus. Jesus had been casting for him with words and deeds for over a year. He hooked him time and again, but he could not land him. Peter always ran out the line. Peter is what fishermen call a drag ripper, a fish that takes out all your line, so you lose your line in the fish. Jesus needs to turn Peter, but healings, exorcisms, words of sin and grace don't stop Peter's hell-bent run away from Jesus. But it came to pass that a boatload of fish did. Simon, his name before he was known by Jesus, called Jesus Master. But the Holy Spirit tells us it is Simon Peter, the name Jesus gave Peter. It's Simon Peter who fell at the knees of Jesus and called him Lord. Now that's the first time anyone in the Gospel of Luke calls Jesus Lord, i.e. Jehovah. Peter the lunker fish is reeled back to Jesus, but wait, there's a problem, as there often is with a big fish. It flops around and back and forth in the boat and sometimes flops right back out of the boat into the water. Peter's at the knees of Jesus, his Lord. But Peter commands, yes, Peter commands Jesus to go away from him because he's a sinful man. Again, this is personal. Peter bolds the word me and the words I am. Jesus must get away from me because I am such a miserable, stinking sinner. I'm not worth catching. What would Jesus want with me? I've already turned my back on him once. And it came to pass that Jesus has gone fishing for sinners. He sits on the boat and casts into the shore with his word of law and gospel. Hungry souls feed on the word of Christ. Full souls, like Peter, put a higher priority on their work or their rest and view any word from God as coming from a master. Jesus just wants to deprive them of sleep. Jesus just wants them to dirty their nets so they have to spend more time washing and putting them away again. Under the law, it can never ever be that Jesus wants to give you anything. Under the law, it can never be that Jesus wants to do for you far more than you could ever do for him. But Jesus does. He casts blessing after blessing into your lap. He gives you a boatload of blessings. Food, drink, house, home, spouse, children, and there's more. He gives you eyes to read his word, and more importantly, he gives you ears to hear that precious word that forgives your sins, baptizes you into new life, and feeds you with his body and blood. Though you have repeatedly turned your nose up at his word, viewing it as only commands, as imposing on your time, Jesus has not ceased to cast his words of eternal life out for you to feed on and be hooked for everlasting life. Now comes the dangerous part. You're hooked again. But you realize more than ever before what a serious sinner you've really been. Despising the word of God is the most serious sin a person can commit, because it's a sin against the only cure for sin, death, and the devil. You see your sins and you can't stand it. Jesus should just leave you. You don't deserve him. You don't deserve to have him teach you, let alone save you. And of course, you're right. You are a sinner and you don't deserve the word made flesh, the written word, or the word embedded in Holy Communion. But the word is for sinners, and I mean serious sinners. The word is not for sinners who can forgive themselves, but for those who know they can't. It's not for sinners who can forget their sins by being busy, but for sinners who see their sins everywhere they turn. The word who works forgiveness, the word that gives forgiveness, is for sinners such as you. You're the type of sinner Jesus is gone fishing for today and every day that his word is cast out. Like any fisherman, Jesus is thrilled when he catches. But unlike any other fisherman, rather than taking you home to eat, Jesus takes you home to eat him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We